The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Marcus, and welcome to another episode of Toilet Side Wrestling Talk. We're not going to waste any time today. My guest is the New Wave Pro Unified Higher Ground Champion. They are the luminary, Jacques Kennedy. Jacques, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming on. Should I be saying happy birthday to you?
I mean, if you want to, sure. It is my birthday.
Okay, now I feel a little bad that you're hanging out with me for the next 45 minutes or so.
Oh, that's fine.
Do you have anything planned other than me?
Other than traveling back from New Wave, no. I've just kind of been sitting around at home taking it easy for today, yeah.
Is that the gift people are giving you, just privacy?
I would say so, yeah.
Do you typically celebrate in a big way? Like, do you typically have, like, a birthday party or anything?
Not necessarily, like, not anymore. I used to just kind of hang out with, like, groups of friends or things like that. Usually now, though, with, like, how my schedule is, I kind of prefer to just kind of keep it on the down low.
Sure. And just use that time to rest?
Yeah.
So we just saw the video of when you won the Higher Ground Championship, which was, what, a month ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you ever get, like, intimidated by your opponents? Because Mad Dog's a scary guy.
You know, That's
I'm a
good
wimp,
question.
But...
I try not to get intimidated by my opponents, and I try to look at them more like an obstacle that is, like, necessary for me to overcome.
Oh, okay.
I can tell you one thing. Mad Dog hits pretty hard, and that was really tough, but I'm glad that I was able to come out as the winner.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge big deal, which we're going to get back to. Last night you retained your championship against Theseus.
Yeah, that's true. Theseus put up one hell of a fight, too. That was, man, I'm still, like, my ankle, I still feel that. All that stuff. He put up a really good fight. It's just he didn't have what it takes to dethrone me as the Higher Ground champion. But I'd always be welcome to let him try again.
Oh, that's very kind of you. So he was working your knee, right? Like, did you have a knee injury? I saw you wearing a brace.
So when I first started training, I had started training first with Cowboy Bob Orton in East Carondelet, Illinois.
Okay.
And then I had moved to Pinfall Academy in Springfield. We were running a training drill one night. It was crucifix pins,
okay.
and
Oh, God.
A guy came up on my shoulder, and my knee gave out on me. I found out later that I flipped my entire ACL upside down, and I had to go and get ACL reconstructive surgery.
Jesus. That's like science fiction, flipping your ACL. That's crazy.
Yeah, so a funny story about that is the first time I went to go and get it checked out, they just did x-rays, and they told me that all I had was like fluid on my knee and that I would be fine. And so I went to go get an MRI a couple weeks after that because nothing was getting better. And that's when I found out, and I was like, yeah, you know, I kind of wish they would have told me that. That would have been nice.
Yeah. So how long were you rehabbing for?
I was out for about, I want to say 7-8 months.
Is it hard? Yeah. Like, is it like harder to come back from an injury?
I would say so. You have to stay like on top of things, especially when you're like rehabilitating the injury. I had to get a second surgery because even though I was working on it every day, it still built up more scar tissue. And they had to remove the scar tissue. And then that ended up costing me like another month on the shelf. The scar tissue was like the size of a baseball, though.
No. So,
yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Wait, did they show you?
I wish.
Oh, okay. They just told you.
They just told me, though.
So, were you like, I imagine I'd be nervous getting back in the ring again after like an injury like that. Were you like timid at all?
I was a lot more impatient.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, so I've been wrestling for about 3 years now. Mm-hmm. I started when I was 16. This injury happened like pretty early. I had maybe, I want to say like 20 or 30 matches under me, if that. Okay. But yeah, like,
is it, I was so defeating?
It was very crushing whenever I first found out about it. There were a lot of things that like went through my mind. I did question like how much I really did want to do this for a long time. But like, I used that time to just fall in love with the sport more. I spent a lot of time like watching wrestling and like thinking of things I wanted to do when I would get back. And I would create like lists to keep me like motivated.
Oh,
and things
wow.
like that. So like, yeah, I would just kind of like keep at it. And like, I remember I was super, super eager to get back into the ring.
Sure.
Because I ended up wrestling like twice the first week I came back. And like, yeah, I will say I was really nervous. But like, the knee brace I have is the same knee brace I've had since the injury. And like, it hasn't, I haven't really had any close scares with it since then.
Have you considered wrestling without it?
As much as I'd love to, I think that would be a bad idea for me.
Yeah. Especially since, you know, you're so young, you don't want to like mess it up this early.
Yeah, no, I'd rather not re-aggravate it. One thing I've also been very like mindful of is my other knee, because even though it's healthy, it could still happen.
Oh, sure. God. Okay, so you won the belt last month. And let me ask you this, and maybe this is, I'm weird. Do you do any, after you get the championship, do you do anything with it? Like, for example, like, take it out to dinner and put it on the other side of the table and like order it a drink and kind of put it in there and just have like a nice meal with it. Do you do anything weird like that? Go pose in the mirror?
Well, so this is like the first championship that I've won ever. And so it's like, I have a very like, I don't know how to put it. I'm very infatuated by that moment. I guess, like, that's a very special moment to me, and that championship is very special to me. I have a piece of paper up on my wall that it just says "Be Somebody," and every time I look at that title, it makes me think that for at least that moment when I'm holding that championship, I am somebody.
Yeah, and absolutely.
It's a very gratifying feeling. I don't really do too much with the title other than like admire it. Right now it's kind of sitting up on my dresser over there. But
you
yeah,
like watch TV with it on.
No,
no. Okay. See, I'd be wearing that thing everywhere.
I do like to walk around with it sometimes. It's
it's nice to
show my friends too.
Oh, does it impress anybody? Like your non wrestling friends?
Family members, yes. A lot of friends think it's pretty neat, I will say.
Yeah, I mean, not many. I mean, that belt could be around 50 zillion other people's waist, but it's yours.
Right.
So you're pretty young. I'm sorry. I keep coming back to that, but like, does that like increase your desire to keep on moving, like having a belt?
It does. It's a very like rewarding feeling to know that I have that responsibility, to know that like I represent a company. It's like, yeah, it's just very gratifying. It's like something that I've worked for, that I've actually like gotten to reap the benefits from. There's no other way I can describe it. It's just such a great feeling.
Oh, I imagine. So you're responsible for the actual belt every single day, right?
Yeah, it's here with me right now.
That's amazing. So you drove home, so you didn't drive home after the show. Where do you live? You don't have to give me a specific address because some of my listeners are nuts.
Jacksonville, Illinois. It's a town like right outside of the capital.
Okay.
About 30 minutes outside of the capital.
Okay.
So like central Illinois is where I'm from.
Yeah, I live in Champaign, well, Savoy, but like Champaign. How far is that from where you are?
I want to say give or take like maybe 3 hours, 2 hours maybe.
Oh, okay. Terrible. Don't worry, I'm not going to show up.
I mean,
I'm too lazy. And I'm scared of my wife. So if I left for that long, she'd probably be upset. Okay. So let's go back in time. Where did you grow up? Did you grow up in central Illinois?
No, I didn't grow up in central Illinois.
Okay.
I was born in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. I was there for like 3 years. We moved here when I was three. I guess I did grow up in central Illinois. I've been here since I was 3 years old. I was born in Montreal, but,
So are you Canadian? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Are you a citizen? You have dual citizenship?
Yeah.
Oh, that's gotta be great.
Yeah.
Meaning like if you broke the law, you had somewhere to go. You know, like, or you're fleeing from someone.
That's true. But
do you have any memories of like being in Canada?
Not really. Like, I don't know. I don't really remember a lot from like my childhood. I don't know, for being 20 and being in wrestling as long as I have, I sure have forgotten a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I bet. So how would have you, like, when you were growing up and, you know, I'm sure you had friends or at least one friend, how would they describe your personality as a child?
I'd say probably, very outgoing, and, loud and ambitious, very clumsy too. I used to trip over myself a lot. Do things like that all the time. I don't know.
Did you have a lot of friends as a little kid?
I'd say so. Like I was relatively like a popular like kid in like elementary school. I had like two childhood friends who like still live near me.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, we haven't really like kept up in a long time, but shout out to them, I guess.
Totally. But are they're not wrestlers, correct?
No.
Okay, so do you have like non-wrestling friends and your pro wrestling friends?
Yeah, I do.
Do those two ever mix?
Sometimes, sort of, kind of, a little bit. Whenever, like, sometimes I'll have people come and watch matches if they're close, and
Oh, cool.
so that way I'll introduce them to some of my friends, but most of the time, yeah, they're usually kind of just separated.
Sure. And so what kind of things were you interested in as a kid?
I played a lot of video games.
Oh, nice. What?
My favorite video game series of all time is probably I want to say, yeah, I'm gonna say Sonic the Hedgehog. I love
Oh,
Sonic
nice.
the Hedgehog. When I was younger, I had a Sega Dreamcast. It was my dad's, and I had a copy of Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2, The Trial. And
Okay.
I loved both of those games so much, even though when I was like 5 and trying to play those games, I didn't know that like there were actual levels in Sonic Adventures, so I would just run around the hub world for like hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so it wasn't until like later that I actually ended up playing Sonic Adventure and got to appreciate that. But yeah, I was really big into video games. Like Sonic was a big series I was into.
Did what systems so after the Dreamcast, which I had too, and the only reason I had it was because ECW had like a video game on it at the time,
Really?
with the real wrestlers. But then I ended up, I think I sold it back to like Funko Land or whatever it's called now, GameStop, and I got a N64 instead. Do you still play currently? Like, if when we're done talking, will you be playing video games?
So I don't really have a lot of time for video games
Sure.
anymore. I occasionally try to play some games when like I have free time. Lately I've been yeah, no, lately I haven't played anything recently, but usually I do like to hop in and like play something like Minecraft or something real quick. It's really hard for me to get into story-driven games lately because that would require like time for me to put into the game. Because there's nothing I hate more than starting a game and then just never being able to finish it.
Yeah, and it takes forever, like with the little tips and everything like that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Sonic is very popular in my house because I unfortunately have children, so
Oh.
they have like all those like old systems that I saved. So they play that Crash Bandicoot they love. And if they weren't in the picture, if I hadn't made that mistake of having children, I'd be playing video games constantly. Because it's just so expensive, these systems, and these kids abuse it. Okay, enough about me. Okay, so you how were you as like a student growing up?
I was always like a really good kid in school for the most part. I'd say kind of lazy. That would come back to bite me later, but like
Did
I
you have
mean,
any ideas of like after high school, I'm gonna continue education, or like, did you have any plan in place?
no, not really. I had like the vague idea of becoming a computer software engineer, or like a computer programmer. I ended up taking a computer programming class in high school, but like I haven't really pursued college since then, mostly because I just don't have the money to do
Yeah,
it,
it's expensive.
which, you know, that is what it is.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, there's also something to be said for going attending the school of life, you know, like that makes you grow up a lot quicker. Okay, so at this point, you're in high school, say, you're getting close to graduating. Had pro wrestling entered the picture at this point?
So pro wrestling came into my life when I was in like sixth grade. Okay. Well, it's always kind of been in my life. Pro wrestling was my dad's favorite thing.
Okay.
His favorite wrestler is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yeah. And he would watch wrestling every Monday night. So as a kid, I was never big into it. It comes as a like big shocker to people to know that like my first wrestling show that I sat down and watched was WrestleMania 29.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was the first time you like ever sat down and like, I'm going to watch this.
Yeah.
And what kind of feelings did that generate in you?
It was very interesting to me at first. Okay. Like seeing these people do these things to each other and like, I don't know, like, I thought it was very cool. Because like, it was something that wasn't like anything else. And like, it was just so like interesting with all of the characters that they had and like all of the moments that you would see happen.
Were you aware of wrestling outside of WWE?
No, not for like a while. I remember one time we watched like a TNA pay-per-view and I did not care for it. It was sometime around like 2013. I think it was like Road to Glory, maybe.
Oh, yeah. So did you like, you said that you started wrestling at 16. How does that come about for someone that's that young? Like, did you have a driver's license?
No. Me and Anakin Murphy, who's a very close friend of mine, we have been friends since high school. So that's kind of how I got into professional wrestling training, was through him. We were hanging out at his house one day, and we saw an advertisement for the SICW Training Academy with Bob Wharton. And so we called them and we signed up and we started driving there in his car for I believe it's like 2.5 hours there and back.
For
Tuesday and Thursday.
Did you know what you were getting yourself into at the time? Or it's like, oh,
absolutely not.
Whoa, wow.
I will stand by it right now. That was one of the worst decisions I've ever made. But
why is that?
Because you don't really understand the like true feeling of dread when you get back home at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then you have a social studies test at 8:30 the next morning. It really was very hard to balance my academic life and wrestling. And when shows started
that stuff,
I dipped into my college savings.
Okay.
And that instead of obviously going to college, because at that point I had kind of made up my mind. I don't know.
So you're 16, for example. Do your friends like in high school know what you're up to?
A little bit. I wouldn't really tune people in unless they really like asked.
Okay.
By the time high school had rolled around, I started getting a lot more like timid, I would say. I'm not a very like out their person anymore.
Uh-huh. Okay. Like you were, because you were saying growing up, you were very like outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
Why did that change? Just because it became serious?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. You know, like life things happen. Mm-hmm. People change over time. And like, I don't know. I just figured it was a lot easier to be more reserved and have people who are like interested in me come up mm-hmm. to me instead. Like, I've always tried my best to be like welcoming and mm-hmm. very open to people coming up to me and talking to me. I don't try to like push people away or make them feel like they're not heard.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something that being very outspoken, like that's something that I dealt with a lot in childhood. And I think okay. that's like, something that did really kind of change how I perceived myself.
Sure. So you didn't have a driver's license. Did Anakin have a driver's license?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was responsible for doing all the driving?
Yeah. Well, we also had another friend named Steven. I can't forget Steven.
Okay.
Steven no longer, he no longer trains to wrestle, but he did for a long time while we were going there.
Okay.
And so sometimes we would just ride with him, and most of the time, for whatever reason, he would drive the whole way to and from. He was a real trooper.
Oh, wow. And never did he, how did paying for gas go? Did everyone have to contribute?
Oh yeah. We would all like rotate every, couple of times. I believe like at that point, at that point, I was like working at Burger King or whatever.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's how like you paid for like little expenses like outside of your college, you know, money.
Yeah, eventually that did just become how I paid for stuff.
Yeah. Was there any ever thought of like skipping out on the rest of high school?
Yeah,
I mean, because if you find a craft that is gonna end up paying you, like,
yeah, but like you have to understand that, like, sometimes it's not always as, like, green. Like, the grass yeah. isn't always as green on the other side. So it's like, I didn't want to do that because I kind of wanted to keep something, like, in my back pocket.
Yeah, sure.
Just in case.
Now, how were you physically at the time? Like, were you in good shape? Like, what made you think that you could, you know, pursue becoming a pro wrestler?
So at the time I started training, I was about 238 pounds.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You're like half of that right now.
Yeah, I'm 155 at the moment.
Okay, go on. I'm sorry. Keep going.
I was like 238, not really, like, I was not an athletic kid at all.
Okay.
I would say I wasn't like overweight, but I was just average, I sure. would say. Okay. So like for a long time, a lot of that stuff was really hard for me to do. Mm-hmm. Now the reason I actually ended up like pursuing wrestling was mm-hmm. because as I had mentioned earlier, my dad was a huge wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 6 years old, he committed suicide, and he is the number one reason that I have chose to pursue wrestling as hard as I have,
mm-hmm.
because I believe that doing this is one of the only ways that I can make him proud of me from the little bit that I do still remember of him.
I mean, because I imagine, you know, I'm a lot older than you, probably by 25 years. But if one of my kids became a wrestler, I'd be so proud of him. You know, something that was like my passion, and like my son actually is becoming, like, do you ever like think to yourself, like, oh my gosh, he would be like really happy and proud of me for doing this.
I'd like
a little tribute to him.
I would like to think so. And sure. I do hope that is the case, because I work very hard to make sure that every match I do is the best work I can put out.
Is it an always present on your mind?
Yeah, it's something that does makes me anxious, because I'm always worrying if I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. But that same anxious feeling is like what drives me to do my best.
Getting back to your size, do you have a hard time just like currently in general? Do you have a hard time putting weight on?
Absolutely. It is.
Is that stressful?
Not really. Like, I'm very secure with where I'm at. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter for me right now, it's a matter of getting more defined and mm-hmm. more toned. I'm comfortable with 155, but it is very frustrating when I want to cut and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's it's really frustrating because my metabolism is just so fast, and I can eat and eat and mm-hmm. nothing happens. But then I can eat one specific thing, and then all of a sudden I look like garbage. And I'm
really?
Yeah, it's very tricky. It might just be because I don't know how to eat, but
you know, maybe at this point you might as well just eat the money that you'd spend to on food if the food's not even making you any bigger.
At this point, might as well.
No, is that something though? Your size, is that something that you need to put weight on or weight off to wrestle other people?
No, I don't weight classes don't really matter. In my opinion, I think it's just about how hard you can hit somebody.
Sure, sure. Have you ever been in? Have you ever been in a fight, a real fight that's not in a wrestling ring?
One time in middle school, if you would want to consider it a fight.
Yeah, I consider that. Did you win?
I guess in all technicality, it kind of just fizzled out. But
did you get suspended afterwards? That's a good indication if you won or not.
Nobody knew about it. We were walking in PE class or whatever. Uh-huh. And we got into this scuffle, and the teacher and the rest of the class was all the way over there. So we just handled our business and went off. God.
All right. So you and Anakin are training under Bob Orton. Now at that point, had you become aware of independent wrestling?
I had started to. Anakin really started to introduce me to that stuff. Mm-hmm. I believe my first independent event was a PWA show. I cannot remember most of the details about that show, but
okay.
I do remember it was 2018 was the first time that I went to an independent wrestling show. And I remember I really did that feeling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The atmosphere at that type of show. And it's something that's stuck with me still. I still get those goosebumps when I show up to a show early and the venue's empty and nobody's there. And it's just really cool to take in.
Oh my God, I bet. Because every time I go to a wrestling match, I'm God, I'd love to go into a ring one day. But that's a bucket list thing. Okay, so the first day of training, do you have any nerves? I imagine I'd be so nervous.
I was very nervous. Prior to that, we did a training seminar over at PWA's old academy before the one in Springfield, where we had I took my first bumps ever, and we ran the ropes and stuff like that. So we had very minimal knowledge kind of going into it.
Okay.
What
was the hardest thing to pick up on initially?
For me, I'm gonna say like flip bumps. Getting used to like the pain in general of like waking up in the next morning and just being like, wow, I do not want to get up.
And but, so were there ever points where like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore? Early on, I mean.
Early on, like, I'd say there were a couple moments. Mm-hmm. But like, I look back at those moments now and I'm like, that was very silly of me to think that I wouldn't be able to do that, because now I can do so much stuff that then would have been unheard of for me.
Did you know, as part of the training was, you know, talking on a mic was, or developing your character was, is that part of training or is that just something you have to do on your own?
A lot of that stuff is something that you need to like go out and you need to like, you need to go out of your way to do on your own. They do teach you how to talk, mm-hmm. and they give you tips for how to build a character, but it's up to you to make that character something that you are you are comfortable with going to show after show after show, mm-hmm. Representing, and to like a character that people will be able to connect to. Mm-hmm. And that was like, those were things that weren't really focused on as much as the wrestling, though I will say.
What was easier, the in-ring stuff or on a mic?
Wrestling.
Oh, really? Did you have any anxiety about, you know, talking in front of a camera on a microphone?
I did for a very long time.
Okay.
Up until like, I want to say like, last year or so, I would say that like I was never super comfortable about doing promos, but now like with what I do, I'm such a promo centric personality. Mm-hmm. So like I love talking now, honestly. Like I'd love to just sit in front of like a crowd and just talk for like 10 minutes. It's mm-hmm. like, it's something that you just need to go out there and do. And mm-hmm. at some point it'll just click and you'll get really like good at it.
Sure. Up to the time of your first match, which we'll get to, had you been thinking about the Luminary at all at that point, or did that come after?
The Luminary came a long time after. The Luminary, was introduced right as I was coming out of my injury. For a long time, I didn't really have a character. I was just default wrestler number one, whatever. I tried running like a punk gimmick.
Okay.
Like just straight up like punk rock, really like in your face kind of stuff. That didn't really like fit me though. That didn't really work out the way I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
I tried running the like Canadian nationalist thing for a little bit. That's like too overplayed to me, and like and that's coming from a Canadian, but like I don't know, like that also just didn't fit for me. And so I started like thinking about things that like I was really interested in. And something I'm very like interested in now is like things like true crime. I'm really interested in like cults, obviously. One of the first cults that I extensively like read about was Heaven's Gate, which I'm sure you're familiar
for
with.
Sure. Yeah.
Heaven's Gate, like, is a big motivator for the character. And another thing that really inspired the character was the game Off by Mortis Ghost, if you're familiar with that.
No, what's that?
Off is a RPG Maker game from, I believe, 2004.
You
play as a character known as the Batter, and his sole reason for existing is to purify the world. It's only once you realize what his meaning of purification is that you realize that maybe you shouldn't take everything at face value. And so that's actually where the sign-off that I use on a lot of my posts comes from. Purification in progress.
Yeah,
that's just a little tidbit. But a lot of people would come up to me because, okay, I just have to put it out there. The Flower Crown was not based off of Midsommar. None of my character was based off of Midsommar.
Do people ask you about that?
All the time. Okay. All the time. I had never even seen the movie until somebody brought it up. And I was like, that's crazy how like similar that is to what I'm doing. A couple other things that really did inspire the character. The first thing that I thought of whenever I was like conceptualizing this was the Lorax. And I was like, it would be interesting to have a character where it's like, I don't necessarily, yes, I speak for the trees, but the trees also like, they speak to me. So it's like, I'm empowered by the energy of the forest, the energy of nature. There we go. That's
sure, sure. You know, it's what's impressive to me about that is I'm 46 years old. I didn't know the definition of luminary until about 2 weeks ago, and I looked it up to see like exactly what, you know, what that meant. So like for you to have already thought about that was very impressive to me. I was like, you know, how do you build a character out of that?
So originally the Luminary started out as just a nickname. It's just something I picked to set me aside from everything else. And then that's when I started to really sit down and go, like, what really is the Luminary? What can I make the Luminary? And then that's how I thought of everything else. And that's how everything kind of started piecing together. Like my first ever match in New Wave Pro, I go by the Luminary, Jacques Kennedy, but I come out with the Canadian flag draped around my.
That's funny. Did you get a negative reaction for that?
Yes, I did. I was not taken very nicely at that show.
Now, were you doing stuff that, or just people got angry that you just that there was a Canadian flag?
Oh, I had a pretty bad attitude that show.
Okay. So how? Okay, you're. When did the crown come about?
So, man, it's kind of hard to like pinpoint an exact moment.
Have you had many?
No, this crown is the first one that I've had, and I'll be honest, it's seen better days. I'm thinking about getting it like remade or something along those lines, mostly because it's starting to fall apart. The reef is like real wood, which in retrospect, the crown started like I so the crown got made like one weekend. A friend of mine had just like sat down and made the crown for me. And I wrestle at like IWAU, IWAU every Tuesday. So that's where I introduced it, and that's when I really started like that's where I really started introducing the character. That's where you can really see like all of the earlier like stuff I've done with the character. I still wrestle there every Tuesday. It's nice. It's fun. Yeah.
Where did you have your first match?
My first match was myself and Johnny Kincaid against IJ Sweet and Oliver Kane at United Wrestling Coalition.
Was that exciting, nerve-wracking? Were you able to sleep the night before your first match?
I didn't know I was having my first match until I was backstage, actually.
How does that happen?
So I was just hanging out at the show, and at that point I had been training for about 8 months, 9 months. So, you know, it was just one of those things. I went up to the promoter and I asked him, and I was like, hey, if you need somebody, I'd be willing to fill that spot. Mm-hmm. And he like had me get in the ring and like had me like bump around a little bit, whatever. Uh-huh. And he was like, hey, from what I saw, cool, go ahead. He like emailed my trainer was like, go ahead. So
oh wow,
it happened. It was a nice fun little match. I remember being very excited about hitting the backstabber that I hit in that match.
And did you do it?
I did.
Did it come off like the way you wanted it to?
It definitely did. It got a reaction, and like getting those reactions for the first time, like hearing people like say things to me and like getting that like immediate feedback was interesting. Even though I had no clue what I was doing, and I went out there and I was just told like be a bad guy, so that's what I did. But like I would have never thought it would have ended up being where it is now. Obviously.
At that point, did you know little tricks to when they tell you you got to be the bad guy? Did you know like little tricks to do that, to get heat from the audience?
Not one bit. I did not know. Like a little bit, like, you know, I knew the like oh, cheat, you know, like abuse the count on the ropes. But nothing that would have been like a game changer, I would say.
So how'd you pick your finisher?
Through a lot of trial and just figuring things out. So I use a multitude of things to finish matches.
Okay.
New Wave Pro is most commonly like familiar with the Fisherman Suplex.
Mm-hmm.
That move. So I call that the Sawyer Special. It was basically like given to me by Zach Sawyer. If you're familiar Zach Sawyer, he used to promote Anna Fight Underground. He was one of the first like people as a promoter to really like look at me and thought that there was something there. Like he was the first promoter who looked at me and really saw like potential. And so I think that that's like one of the smallest things. Like that's the least I could do for somebody who gave me so many opportunities against so many different people and a chance to like wrestle my best friend in like such a large, like on such a platform. Mm-hmm. I want to say.
Do you ever wake up in like on a day of a show and like, I don't want to wrestle tonight?
No.
Or you don't have to answer that also.
Well, no. But like, I'll say it, but I don't ever really mean it.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I'll be like, oh man, I hurt so bad. I don't want to wrestle right now.
Have you ever had a match where you don't feel it afterwards? Is that impossible?
You get a couple stinkers in there.
Okay. Okay.
Every so often, after you've done it for like 3 years, which to a lot of people that's nothing, but like after like 3 years, yeah, you know, you have some that you're just like, oh well, out of all the matches I've had, that's a match I was in.
And like, what about like promoting yourself? Is that stressful? Like social, like promoting yourself on social media or getting your name out there to other promoters? Is that stressful?
It can be. It can be very difficult, especially in a time where we're so like influenced by social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that you are interactive with people and you understand how engagement works. I won't even lie. That's why I only use Twitter. I do not have the time or like energy to maintain my Facebook account is like, it needs to be updated. I update the profile picture and share things sometimes.
Yeah.
But like Twitter's my main spot. I like Instagram. I haven't touched my Instagram in like a year and a half.
Okay.
It's really hard to.
Well, there's all these platforms that you have to like promote on. I imagine that's such a pain. And wrestlers, you know, 20 years ago never had to do that kind of stuff. What about like, do you feel bad like if you don't have a match scheduled for every single weekend?
I used to. And I wouldn't say that's like a reflection on how like ambitious I am.
Yeah.
More or less is like, some weekends it's okay to like not have wrestling because something you kind of realize as you keep going on with like wrestling and like you keep chasing after it is that it's okay to like take a step back sometimes and like, have days where you do other things like I like to write poetry, so that's some of the stuff that I do outside of like wrestling. That's what I'll do on weekends where I don't wrestle, or like I'll just work out more, or I'll watch more wrestling.
Yeah. What kind of wrestling do you watch nowadays? Do you watch like IWTV?
So I like to try and watch like independent wrestling as often as I can. I just recently got back from like I'm starting to tune back in after taking like a little bit of a break from watching wrestling. Just in general, I'm a big fan of like lately I'm like a big fan of William Regal. That's somebody I watch a lot of. I watch a lot of like early and like late 2000s Ring of Honor stuff. I'm sure it's fairly obvious, fairly easy to tell that Bryan Danielson is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I love Roderick Strong.
Those guys went in the ROH days were amazing matches.
Oh yeah, like it's insane. I love the physicality. I think that's the number one thing in wrestling for me is the physicality. Mm-hmm. It's unlike anything else in the world. It's such a fascinating thing to watch.
If someone said to you, "Hey, listen, you can't wrestle anymore," would you be devastated?
I would be absolutely heartbroken.
Okay. I'm not going to say that to you. And I don't know anything. I just wanted to ask the question. So what was I going to say? I wanted to go back to promotion, promos and stuff. Did you have to do that like outside the ring, like in front of a mirror?
I never did. I would always just try to cut my promo right then and there. And
in like one take.
More like 40.
Yeah.
I would just sit there and keep doing it until I got what I wanted or what just ended up working. And early on in my career, that did not pay off well. I have a lot of bad promos, but now it's so easy for me to just know what I need to say and say it.
Do you feel comfortable in the ring, like completely comfortable now, or is it
still a work
in progress?
It's so like relieving to actually be in the ring, and like I don't know, it's like it's a very interesting feeling. It's like
do you have a plan? Like you don't have to tell me your plan, but do you have like a plan of like how you want things to go over the next couple of years, where you want to be?
Not really. I'm just kind of like taking it in, you know, like wrestling's afforded me a lot of opportunities to travel to places that I would have never been able to had I not decided to stick with wrestling.
Sure, sure.
And so like I've been to like Ohio, I've been to Indiana.
Do you have a driver's license now?
No, I don't. Not necessarily by choice. I made a lot of like bad decisions, but I'm working on getting my driver's license right now.
It's a pain in the ass, anyways. Driving.
It's really hard to do with wrestling and everything, but I'm getting there.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time I do just travel around with friends. It's a lot of fun. I wouldn't like trade any of those road trips for anything else. 3 hours in a car isn't as bad as you think it is when you're with like your best friends.
I bet that's awesome. I mean,
Sometimes though, those 1 hour, like those 1.5 hour car rides, those can drag. I can tell you that much.
Really? Okay. We talked about this a little earlier about, I was asking if you thought your dad would be proud of you. Are you proud of you?
I'd say it's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress.
Every day it gets better. I've always struggled a lot with like mental health and things like that, but wrestling's one of those things that is like my outlet. It's something that makes me feel like I belong. It makes me feel good to be me.
That's a great answer. You know, I'm not talented or anything, so like my outlet is watching wrestling, you know, like from my mental health breaks, I go and watch wrestling. Can I ask you 5 non-wrestling related questions? And they're just going to be yes or no's. You don't have to elaborate if you don't want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Can you, in my continuing effort to filter out vampires, can you sleep hanging upside down?
No, I can't.
Okay. Have you ever cried during one of the Jurassic Park movies? Any of them, even the old ones?
No.
Okay. Now this one you really have to think about. For $62 million, the most I've ever offered anybody, would you have a third arm surgically attached to your body? And it wouldn't just be a dummy arm. Like, you could use it, you know, to eat and play with the remote control. You know what I mean? There's a ton of things you could do with a third arm.
Do I get to choose where it's at?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Side question, would you do it for a tail? Fair enough. Are you scared of mice?
No.
Okay. And finally, you're doing fantastic. Do you think that Kim Kardashian would date Santa Claus if he had an open marriage with Mrs. Claus?
You know what? I'll go. Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. 5 for 5. You did great. I want to thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate this. A, it's a Sunday night. B, it's your birthday. Are you going to be alone the rest of the evening?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm just hanging out with my dog.
Oh, what kind of dog do you have?
A Dachshund.
The little hot dog dog?
Yeah, she's 5, and uh-huh. Her name's Roxy.
Oh, nice. So it's just the two. Does she sleep with you at night?
In bed? Sometimes.
Oh, that's nice. How much does she weigh?
I want to say about like maybe 60.
Oh, okay. Maybe. So I'm not asking questions because I'm going to come and dog nap her. I just wanted to know, just in general. Yeah, I'm not going to show up at your place. I have no idea where you live.
I mean, you probably could. The most she would do is like bark at you and then wag her tail and walk over. She's not very she's not very fierce.
All right, Jack, go enjoy the rest of your birthday. But really, thank you so much for sharing your stories. And you're very interesting. And I'd love to have you on again.
Yeah, no problem. I really appreciate it. I think like what you do here is really interesting. And it was a lot of fun to be on and like answer questions.
Good. Anytime you got anything to say, you're always welcome to come on.
Yeah. And like, it's something I don't really get to do a lot. So mm-hmm. like, I really enjoy being able to let people connect with me on like this level.
Yeah, and talk about your craft. I always look at pro wrestlers. I don't care if they just started yesterday. They're like superheroes to me, you know? And it's like always like mesmerizing just listening to what you guys go through and, you know, your stories. So I really appreciate you coming on a ton. But you take care and stay healthy, and I'll continue seeing you at New Wave Pro matches, and just wish you nothing but success.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jacques. You take care.
Yep, you too.
All right, bye.
See ya.